Well, guys, it's really awesome to have you here today, and fantastic to have you in the Vineyard Church of Conroe. If you've driven a long way today, I want to thank you for coming along. And Chris, you come a long way. I know Brian Fox, our associate pastor. Brian, raise your hand right there. He said he'll pick up all the gas money if you came over 20 miles. He'll get you there, so that's fantastic to have you today. And this little light should get me up here, big Mr. Hawk. That's good there. We want Robbie. Robbie's a very quiet person, and you want to make sure you have plenty of power on that mic because sometimes his Arkansas accent begins to slur, and I can't get it. Those people, if you're from Arkansas today, raise your hand real quick. Robbie, I want you to see that there are people from Arkansas that are here. So before we slam the place, let's go ahead and get that real clear today. I know that. He lives in Arkansas. It's good. Guys, what a fantastic time we've had this weekend already, and I appreciate you coming out here tonight. And we're expecting to just see the Lord move in most wonderful way and hear some wonderful teaching, even as the Lord is just moving powerfully in all areas tonight. And so one of the things that we are going to be doing here tonight is generally what we do is we do a love offering at this time. I'm going to say this, we're not going to do that. If you've come today and there is an offering that you would like to give that you have prepared or want to give, we're going to put the urn out there aside, and I ask you to do that. It'd be fantastic, but we don't want to do that tonight and taking that time in that there. So if that's with you, please do that before you go. That's between you and the Lord. And most of you know, we know where you live, so that's fine. Just the main thing tonight is we want to see you blessed as the Spirit comes and moves in power. And so I want to, before I even pray, what I'll do is I'll allow Robbie to bring us into prayer in that way. But I want to go ahead and introduce Robbie and go ahead and bring him up so we can get started because he needs a lot of time. He's a slow starter, but man, when he gets going, he's like a steam train. He's going to tear it up. So I want to put today Robbie Condal bringing him up here.
You can fry. That's good. That's good. All right. That's right, man. Yeah, he's... It's been a blessing. Thank you guys for having me, and thank you, Pastor. That is, isn't he awesome? Come on. You guys have an amazing pastor. Amazing pastor. Well, I don't want to waste the time. I want to go forward. Today morning, early morning, when I was talking to the Lord. Well, all night. There's a word for this church. Actually, there is a place called Conway in Arkansas. But the word is for Conroe. Okay. So it's fun. Well, we're gonna have. The Lord said. The Lord spoke to me in different ways and explaining what's going to happen today. But we have a special person today that God wants to deliver a word for us, and I'll come up right after him. But I've known Tim Wimber. Tim Wimber, a man of God I have got to know, who has an amazing calling on his life. There's a place where we live in a wilderness. Wilderness is not a punishment. Wilderness is a preparation for a greater move. It feels stuck sometimes. You look around, you don't see no bush, no water, no springs, no honey, no milk. But the day is going to come when God suddenly comes and picks us up with his royal pickup. A royal pickup to work with him and do the wonders of God. And Tim, I believe there is time. His father, what is his father's name? John Wimber. That dude, come on. He rocked the world. I cannot believe the energy John Wimber had to bring a new understanding of what a ministry of signs and wonders is and how we can receive them. And that is available for everybody to receive. He brought a new understanding. And I cannot, in England, there is a Wimber, what is that? Wimberized. Yeah, in the whole of England, there is Wimberized churches, non-Wimberized churches. It's like a theology name. Non-Wimberized and Wimberized churches. Anglican churches. Can you believe that? He changed the whole course, whole face of England. England. A nation, anybody did not think that would be shaken or cannot be shaken. Wimber shook England. Wimber shook America. Wimber shook the whole of the world. Well, we have a Wimber in our midst today who's going to shake the world with the word. And I believe this is the man of God we're waiting. Come on up. Should we just honor him by clapping hands and just welcome him? Please know that this man of God, I don't know how many people you know, how many people, this is what the Lord said on his life. He has, I don't want to do this, but I want to do this because it's a place where he is starting, is beginning to see God's place, God's wonders, God's desire, God's place of knowing what he's going to do. But this is a man, a next prophet, who has an amazing revelation of heaven. The undone work is happening through this man of God. Amen? And I want you to join him in prayers. As you remember Vineyard, remember him in your prayers. Can we? All right, let's listen to him. Amen, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, first of all, I want to let you know that I need to make some corrections here. I am the sole proprietor and owner, president of High Tide Pool Service. That's my job. I people don't pay me to talk to them. I haven't written any books. Not a theologian. I'm just an average person, and that's the point. The point is that I'm an average person. Back when I was hanging out with my best friend John Reed, we just graduated from high school. We were going around trying to find churches. We were hungry. We were in the desert. We had been so long away from that feeling that you get when you feel close to God. Our church had kind of become so harsh and so hard to, they just didn't have anything for us. They wanted us to conform and become old and tired like them, and we just couldn't do it. So we kept going from church to church, and John and I just never really found it. And my parents must have been going through the same thing. My dad was traveling around the country telling people how to make their churches grow. But he wasn't very happy. He kept telling me things like, take care of your mom. I think she's having a nervous breakdown. And he, you know, what was going on was, it's hard hearing yourself echo. It's really weird. Anybody who's ever stood up here and talked? I told you I don't talk for a living. I'm going to prove it to you. I was looking for God, and God found my father and told him, he said, you know what, I've seen what you've done. I've seen your ministry. Now I'm going to show you mine. And my dad said, that's all I ever wanted. Now, I want to let you know that everybody thinks my dad had this big plan and that he had done this thing and he had a big theology and he came up with the Vineyard theology and he came up with a way to make worship come out of people and he did all this stuff. No, he didn't. God did it all. He kept telling you that he was just a fat saxophone player trying to get to heaven. He meant it. He was just trying to get to heaven. He'd say, I'm sorry God told you to follow me. But this is where we're going. He would say, I'm just one page ahead of you. When I was really little, my dad had been a jazz musician. Couldn't make any money being a jazz musician in 1962, so he started a band. But he would teach people how to play instruments at the local music store. They'd give music lessons. Well, if they didn't have anybody that could play something, they asked my dad to do it. So one day he's sitting there on the coffee table, and he's sliding his hands up and down, and I'm going, what's that? That's not like, you know, because he's usually playing like reed instruments on the steering wheel or something. And I said, I've got to teach somebody how to play a steel guitar. I said, Dad, you don't know how to play steel. You don't own a steel guitar. He says, it doesn't make any difference. I can still teach him how to do it. I just got to learn the lesson in the morning so I can teach him at night. That's the way he did everything. All the things he told you were things he just learned today. Now I'm going to tell you what I've learned. I got to see God do something, and I got to see it from the standpoint of the man who used to falling asleep in the chair, turn the channels just as you got interested in a TV show. He was my father. He was just my father. I knew what he was. I knew that he didn't. You know, people would ask him, what do you do to prepare for these conferences? And he'd say, I have a Diet Coke. He was trying to tell you he was a normal person. I've got to tell you that we're all normal people. And that if God's going to use somebody, it has nothing to do with making you great. It has nothing to do. It's just you being you. And then God does this great thing in front of you, and you get to see it. Isn't that great? It really has nothing to do with our merit. This, we cannot earn it. We can't grow it. We can't become spiritual enough to make it happen. I'm telling you, I don't care how hard you do something, you're never going to make a miracle happen. It's only God who's going to make it happen. Now, you get to be there. Isn't that great? I mean, I really want to see miracles. I like that kind of stuff. My dad used to say he wanted to walk across swimming pools. I've tried. It doesn't work. I fall in all the time. A while back, I'm an old person now, and I was thinking about retiring and sitting down and, you know, watching my grandkids grow up, and I was excited about just like, okay, I tried it. I was, you know, I really thought when I was younger, I'd had all these prophecies. I was going to be, you know, somebody, and I was going to do something, and God had a call on my life, and I just thought, well, I must have missed it. And then this Indian guy shows up and says, no, 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 now is the time. I'm going, wait a minute, I'm 58. I don't want to start now. I'm old. And then instantly through my mind pops Moses. I thought, oh, crap. Sorry if I've offended anybody. And then I thought, well, okay, God, you did the thing for my dad. He said that, you know, it wasn't his ministry. Okay, I'll do it. I'll just, as long as there's a reason to believe, I'm going to keep going. And Ravi lives in Arkansas. I live in Southern California in South Orange County. I'm a pool man, okay? I don't leave in the summer. Ravi says, you've got to come to Arkansas. And I'm thinking, why am I going to Arkansas? I hate humidity. I don't want to go to the Midwest. I just don't want to, it's like, and what's in Arkansas? You know, a bunch of nice grass, you know. I'm not really into Walmart that much. And I couldn't really figure out what it was. But I got there. And it wasn't what anybody said to me. Is I walked into somebody's house, and I could feel the presence of the Lord like I used to, that lead blanket, and I can remember all of the times when I knew that God was there, and I knew that if I could just find somebody dead, I could raise them. I knew that the power was there. I knew that everything was going to happen and God was with us, and nothing we would ask for would just fall. Everything was going to happen. And I was so excited about that time. And then a guy was with me, was prophesying over me, because I guess that's why we were there, is because he was going to give us prophecies. And but in my mind, God told me this. Okay, there's a book in the Old Testament called Haggai. Okay, the verse starting at verse 3. Who of you is left that remembered this house in its former glory? They're talking about the remnant that had been taken away in captivity have now come back, and they're talking about Jerusalem and the temple. It says, who among you remember this house in its former glory? And how does it look to you now? That was exactly, because see, I remember the days when God was doing these great, mighty things, when people were coming, you know, people would literally, you got to realize, I guess it's not such a big deal in Texas, but people would drive for 6 hours to go to church in the morning. You know, the people in California don't do that. People would drive from Las Vegas, Nevada, to Orange County, to Anaheim Hills to go to church. People would accidentally walk into the church and fall down and repent and get saved. People would get healed without wanting it. People would get delivered just by walking into the room. We didn't have a theology for this. There was no theology, okay? It just happened. And we just learned to expect it. People were set free of the deepest things. People's sins. We used to walk up to people and tell them every bad thing, and it says, God says, if repent or die. And they all repented, so I guess, you know, we don't know if it would have worked. And I don't remember one thing I told anybody, but I can remember everything God ever told me. But I don't remember that because I think God made me forget. God is merciful. He wants to take us out of the pit. Back there with John, he took me out of the pit and showed me something. He's now taken me again, and it is said, who remembers this house in its former glory, and how does it look to you now? And then it's skipping down a little bit. It says, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord. And this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. And the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord. I couldn't talk for, I don't know what, like I said, people were talking to me and prophesying at me, and I didn't talk. They probably just thought I was listening intently. I couldn't talk. God had said all that, not through a prophet. He just said it in my head. And I'm not, okay, I admit I'd read that before, but it was just like a tape recorder went off my head, and it wasn't my voice, it was his, and he just told me, that's what it is. That's what you're called to. This is my story, so you don't have to take it any other way but what it is. I'm excited that God's not through with me. I don't think God's through with any of us. I think that God isn't through with us until we're there. I think the story ends the day we meet him. When we were young, Okay, as any of you that are parents and have little kids, and then as you get older, you realize, hey, wait a minute, at least fathers, I don't know. You mothers are probably much better than us fathers. I had two little boys, and I was so worried about who I was, I didn't pay attention. I didn't enjoy it. Like, I don't take pictures of my kids, my wife does. And I used to be a professional videographer, and I don't take pictures of my kids. I'm terrible. Anyway, but God told me that he was going to bring it all back so that I got to see it this time and I got to enjoy it this time. I'm a grandfather now, so you that are grandparents, I get to watch my grandkids. I get to sugar them up, get them all happy, take them to Disneyland, do all the things that, and then I get to give them back to their parents and they have to take care of them. It's great. It's the best reward. It's just the best thing in the world. We get to do it, and all we have to be is willing. All you have to do is just say, okay, let's go. Now, as far as me, I'm going, wait a minute, I don't have, I can't do this. Well, what about, I don't have any money. And God says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Oh, okay, well, I guess that covers that. Okay, but God, I don't see it. And he says, you're supposed to live by faith. Oh, okay. You see, we tend to, as people, we tend to think that it's going to happen a certain way. I mean, don't you really expect when God speaks to you that there's angels singing and beams of heaven come and hit you on the chest and, don't you really think that? But no, you know what happens? It's in somebody's living room sitting on the couch when nobody knows what's going on. It's in the middle of the night and God wakes you up and tells you things that break your heart. It's when you see something and you realize, wait a minute, I missed it the last time. Now I get to see it again. And it's like being able to watch my kids grow up again. And I won't miss it this time because now I know to look. Now I know to pay attention. I get to see God move again. I get to hear. There was a time when I would literally run over to my parents' house every chance we got because I wanted to find out what cool thing had happened. Yeah, because he would know. He was just like me. He had just about as much faith as I did. Stories like this would happen. He'd handed me an envelope, and inside were six different Polaroids. And they were this picture of the side of this woman's head. And she was pulling her hair back like this because I guess her hair probably normally covered the sides of her head and you couldn't see her ears. Well, she had come up, and because when you're sitting on the stage, you really can't hear what people are saying to you. It just doesn't work very well. He hadn't been able to hear, but she'd said she didn't have an ear. And he thought she couldn't hear. Okay, so he prayed for her, just did that, and then said, you're healed. And she walked away and kind of looking bewildered. Well, sends him this, and in the first picture, there's like a bump on the side of her head. And the next picture, there's a little ear forming about this big. And the next picture, it's bigger, and it's actually now penetrated the side of her head. And then pretty soon, her last picture is of the other side of her head to show that they both match. And I thought, and my dad said, I would have never prayed if I'd heard what she'd said. The point I'd said today, I'm doing a Ravi. I'm bouncing around because you would think, oh, what's the one thing you learned from your dad that you remember? We were at a leadership conference in Harrogate, England, and my dad, the routine was you do a talk and then you'd give out words of knowledge and people would respond. They'd come forward and get healed, and that was what you did. Well, he did his talk, and he gave out a whole bunch of words of knowledge, and nobody responded. And everybody, all of his regional pastors and all the people there that were kind of the leaders in the church, that had come with us, they were all very protective, and they were all rebuking the people, before the thing. And my dad finally got, wait a minute, I don't care. I don't care if you respond or not. It's not like I could have studied harder, it's not like I have a different act. It all comes the same way. It's just an impression. I just say what comes into my head. And, God does it or he doesn't. So I don't really care if you respond at all. I mean, what's the chance? Maybe, if you had. Well, that's the thing I remember, is that he really didn't care. He was just excited to see what God was going to do. And I got to tell you that's where I'm at. I'm just excited to see what God's going to do. And I don't know how it's going to work. I have no idea. So don't ask me. I don't have a plan. I don't think, I can't write music, so I can't get royalties. I can hardly read, so I can't write a book. I don't know. Like I said, I'm a pool man. If anybody needs a pool man, no. Too far to drive. Seriously, though, God wants us to just be ready to do what we do. And all of us kind of have jobs, and we all kind of know what they are. And a lot of us have kind of gotten weary of the fight, and so we've kind of fallen out of our jobs. Or just, felt like, it's not worth the work so much. It's just too hard. And so we find ourselves kind of wandering off. I think that he wants us to be ready, because I personally think there's a revival coming that's not going to be based anywhere. I think it's just going to be everywhere. I think that there's going to be something that happens where we will represent God. People will go, hey, I need a Christian. Like you say, I need a doctor. People, is anybody here a Christian? And that's what it'll be. That we will go over and raise somebody from the dead, or, get them saved, or, and to cast out their demon, I don't know. Whatever it is that they need, and that will just be what we do. And they'll expect any Christian to be able to do it. They won't ask, where is your theology degree from? They won't do that. They won't care. They won't even care if you went to Bob Jones. They won't really care. What they do expect is you represent God, and we need to represent God. I'm more fully convinced that God put on me this excitement that I'm a different person, and I'm not. I didn't get healed of any emotional things. I didn't go through inner healing. I didn't learn, five steps to becoming a better leader. I did nothing. God just changed me in a moment. And he took something, and all of a sudden my eyes are open. And what I thought was such a mystery is now so obvious to me. What I don't know is how much everybody else sees. And so I'm always asking questions like, do you understand this? People always look at me bewildered. But I'm telling you, how can you not see that something big is going to happen? Something really big, and I think we have to have expectation. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means to you guys, okay? I know what it means to me. I know that God's very generous, and I know he'll give you everything. And there's no reason to think that you're excluded. Remember, he knew who you were before he took you. He doesn't, nothing surprises him. Ravi says he knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. He's right. He knows everything bad you'll ever do, so what could exclude you? He still wants you. If he knows everything you're going to screw up on, what would get you fired? He hired you knowing it. There's nothing going to get you fired. So I've got 3 minutes. I'm just too much of you know, too much not Indian. I have to actually end when I was told to, so. My problem, not his. So. What you have to understand is, this is not anything to do. The reason why we go through all the stuff we do to try to grow up, it's for us. It's not for him. It's not to gain anything. My little girl, who was 18 months old, a few weeks after she bit Mary Pfeiffer on the face in the nursery class, prayed for the little Henderson boy. I mean, these real people, who had broken his arm. His parents had come, and they'd just graduated from Fuller, and they were going to come be the youth pastors of the church. Well, the Henderson boy had a cast on, and what do we do in our family? Owie, you pray for it. So she goes over and prays for him in the nursery class. And the teacher says, oh, how cute that is. Well, they take the kid to the doctor's next day to see how the break is healing, and it was never broken. It wasn't that it was healed. It was just never broken. And they're going, wait a minute. It freaked out the mom so much she almost never came back to the church. It really did. That's a true story. The thing is that if my 18-month-old, she didn't have any theology for it. She just knows you pray for owies. That's what we always did. She'd fall down, we pray for her, right? You know, make her knee better. That whole thing. She prayed for his arm. It was an owie. So it has nothing to do with anything else. You have to expect that God could use you. He could use you right after you do just the grossest sin. He could still use you. I'm not saying to go out and sin. I'm just saying don't not do what God asked you to do just because you just screwed up. Don't let anything separate you from the love of God. It said that heaven won't. Hell can't. You know, there's no divide, you know, that will separate you from the love of God. So don't let anything separate you. Be ready when it's time. Just be willing. And that's all it takes to see miracles. It's all it takes. If God ever uses me to do anything, it's not because I've done anything right. It's because God chose me to let me see it, to let me be the one. I don't think... Like I said, this is not based on any other thing, but I'm just willing to take a chance to look like a fool. Remember, everybody hear the story about I'm a fool for Christ, who's fool are you? That's it. And that's what my dad taught me. I'm willing to look like a fool. Like right now. This is it. This is me taking a chance. Now, you think not a big chance, and maybe not, but it is a chance, and so here we go. Let's see what God might do. Let's see if we can just be ready for the next thing. Don't think that anything is going to can stop you. Moses was 100, was 80 when he started, 120 when he ended. Aaron was 5 years older. He was 125. Said they weren't old. Said their shoes didn't wear out. Says his eyes weren't dim. What can stop us? If physical limitations aren't the issue, if God's going to keep everything for us, what can stop us? Anyway.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Yes. What he shared was a preview of what you're going to experience in your church. Someone didn't get it. People will wake up at 6 o'clock or wake up at 4 o'clock, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to come to the service at 8:30 here. No, you didn't get it. People will wait standing outside trying to figure out a place where your pastor will make sure everybody has chairs to sit. You guys will have an amazing place where tons of people were standing outside waiting to come inside, because they know if they come inside this church, they will be delivered from this oppression of the enemy. It is. What he shared was a prototype of what's going to happen, which happened in Anaheim. It's going to happen in Conroe Vineyard. We got to see it. We got to see it because that's who we are. We are made to see the things of God. We are made to see the things that God wanted us to see. We are not made to see the things that we assumed or we expected to see things. See, my God is a God. My God, our God, is not a God who does not do nothing. He comes with an accident process. No, he does not do anything in accident process. He will always do exactly how it's supposed to be done, because he's already walked whose way? Our way. He's already walked your way way before we could have walked. The problem in that is we have unknowingly put an expectation what should happen, and allow that expectation to be a dictation of what should happen when that should did not happen. Oh my goodness. Talk about a principle called writing a book or writing a blog. Anybody here write blogs? I know one guy who writes blogs here. I'm just kidding. You see, the principle of, somebody's waving their hands, good. The principle of God is he desires us to move in his likeness. That his likeness is an ordinance of heaven, moving in our expectation, allowing this expectation to become not a water bottle of solution. It is a river flows from me. Did you get that? It is not a water bottle solution. It's a river tsunami that hits, that cannot be stopped. It hits places where they never expected that thing to not happen. I was going to talk about today, I was going to talk about the subject today morning. I preached a different sermon today. I was going to talk about spiritual warfare 101. I like that subject. Spiritual warfare 101. You see, the spiritual warfare is meant to be spiritual. The spiritual warfare is meant to have the spirit work its way, not me trying to figure out what spiritual is. Good job, Robbie. When we try to figure out spiritual things, the spiritual things usually allow us to explain what other world can think and other world can give me assumption and perception of what could happen or what might not happen. You see, I was, as you said in the morning, I studied in a Bob Jones University, and as I was studying in Bob Jones University, there is a John Brown University in my place. So Bob Jones University, I after my salvation, coming out of a terrible thing that happened. I have no time to share my testimony later on, or some of the time. When I came out and I went to villages and shared the gospel, and I saw mighty things and I saw amazing things, and God had to do those things because witchcraft would do the same things, but my God had to do greater things than the witchcraft who did that. He had to do greater things than a witchcraft. He had to show people that he is mightier than anyone else, that he is a jealous God. Isaiah 46, "For I am God, there is none like me." An amazing, jealous God. "I am God, there is none like me." He was, he is, he was and he is, and he will never be compared to anybody. He can be compared to anybody. So I just saw 5 days people died and waking up, and I saw tremendous of miracles that I never thought I would be seeing. I'd wake up every day, "Daddy, what's going to happen today? What kind of miracle is going to happen today? I want to see wonders and signs. I want to see new things that's going to happen." I would wake up. I would wake up with an expectation of God, what God wanted me to see. And I saw all of these wonders and amazing things that's happened in this 1 year. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, "Ravi, I want you to go to Bob Jones University." And I go to the Bob Jones University. The first day when I remember this, first day when I went to the school, the president looked at me and he says, "Ravi, do you know we don't believe in miracles? Do you know we don't believe in signs and wonders? Do you know we don't believe angels running around here? We don't believe we don't believe this, we don't believe that. We don't believe that God can speak to us today." I thought, where did I come? And I looked at him and said, I said, "Sir, do you at least believe in Jesus?" He said, "Yes, we do believe in Jesus." It dawned to me, it surprised me that God, who was talking to me outside voice, telling me to go to a school who did not believe in Jesus. Sorry, in the voice of God, who was talking to me every single day. It was the most confusing thing for me. Talk about complicated God. Lord, why did you have to do this for me? Because all the teaching that I was taught was the voice of God would happen when the perfect one comes. True, according to their theology. Because they got stuck with one verse and built the theology around one verse. Theology is not meant to be argued with one verse. One verse should give you all the perception of the whole Bible. So I started being in the Bible school and started working out in that working school, and I would every teaching that they would teach me anthropology or Christology or pneumatology, and I had fun reading those. But God would speak to me early mornings and just I had so much of fun understanding God through the Word of God. So as I was reading and I was studying the school, and I would ask my professors and say, "Sir, are you sure God cannot speak to us at this age?" And they say, "Yes, he can't speak." And to me, it's like, "Oh, then what is this voice? I mean, this voice, I know this is Jesus. Because this voice tells me that he is the God of me called Jesus. And it's telling you about this thing's going to happen to you tomorrow. You know, test it out, please." And I would go back and the next day, and I would ask the professor, say, "Sir, did this happen to you?" He looks at me and he said, "Ravi, it happened. It really happened. Whatever you said, it happened. But please go study Greek." I don't understand. The days were like that every single day, and all of a sudden, I was finishing the school, and I had to do a thesis for the graduation. It dawned to me, for me to write a thesis, And I wanted to write a thesis to prove my school wrong. What I did was, I selected a subject called demonology. The reason I selected the word, this thesis on demonology is because I wanted to learn what this demonology is. Because I see witchcraft in the villages trying to give answers to people who are hungry. And people would stand in line and lines and lines to listen to a fellow who thinks he knows everything. And he does little things here and there. When that guy could do with a limited power, how much more could my God do with unlimited power? Come on. And I decided to do that, and I went to every witchcraft possible, interviewed every witchcraft possible, and did this thesis. And I would ask these questions: how many hours do you have to spend to meditate on this thing to acquire these powers? How many powers are there to be acquired? How many days do you have to meditate to get these powers? And what would these powers do on people? And what are these powers are meant to? And I would ask questions by questions and questions and questions so that I would write a thesis for my Bob Jones University. That is what I thought. And also I wanted to see the power of God demonstrate in witchcraft. Would witchcraft come again? What power is greater? Is witchcraft power greater or my God's power greater? Yeah, that's what I thought. I wanted to test it. I remember still that day, one particular day, where I sat in this corner and I looked at the witchcraft guy and I said, he's sitting down, he was just doing this mantra and all these things that he was trying to do. And all of a sudden looked at him, I wanted to test my daddy's power, my God's power. And I, inside my mind, inside my mouth, I said, Jesus, Daddy, I release your power in this place. I didn't even say his place. I didn't bring hail down on this guy. I said, I release your presence in this place. There is no way that he could hear what I said. As soon as I said that, this guy who was so fat, who was so big, and who was so mighty, powerful guy, something like a baby. Like someone popped the balloon. He just sucked, straight went on the ground. Sitting, but went on the ground and said, he could not understand what happened. He looked at me and I said, who are you? Who are you? And what did you say? I said, whoa, my God's power work. I need a bibliography. You know what bibliography is? Yeah, end notes. I need a proof for Bob Jones University. I said, can I take a photograph? So that I can put it in my back of the book, theses, to let them know that this works. My God's power works. And I would show them, and I did that to almost every witchcraft possible. And I went back to school, and for graduation, I passed on my graduation paper to them. And they looked at me and they said, Ravi, do you know, all this 6 years, you've been a pain? And do you expect us to graduate you with this pain called demonology? I said, sir, I don't care if you graduate me or not. And after the second day, someone comes to me and says, Ravi, they're going to graduate you. And I said, how come? Because yesterday they were so rigid that they were not going to graduate me. They looked at me and said, sir, he said, if you don't graduate Ravi, Ravi will start lingering around. Let's graduate him.
In other words, let's kick him out. So they kicked me out. But as I had that theology or the thesis on demonology, I thought I was trying to do a thesis to prove Bob Jones University wrong. But matter of fact, I didn't realize this thesis got useful after several years, 6 years exactly back. I picked that book back and started understanding what God is. What can God do to us? And what has He given to us in our hearts? What has He poured into us to bring down the enemy's strongholds? What did God do? What did God give us? What did God give us to begin a ministry called pulling down the strongholds? We have a scripture to read today in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5, and 6. I'm going to just read it out loud, and we'll go over the scripture for a minute. For the weapons, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. For pulling down the strongholds. What comes to my mind is, I think I've been watching this TV for a long time. What comes to my mind is a stronghold, a wall around the city, protecting the city, helping the city, protecting the enemies, try not to come inside. You know what I'm trying to say? These olden days castles are protected by these outside walls. What do these outside walls do? These outside walls helps us to be secure in inside wall where we feel sufficient, we feel secure, we feel no harm from an enemy who's trying to come inside. What it means is, the Lord said, the Bible says, He in God for pulling down the strongholds. In other words, this wall is actually meant as a stronghold protecting the castle protecting the castle which is inside. In other words, the stronghold is nothing but the memories of the past where enemy resides in it and tries to counterattack what is coming against the wall. Did you get that? The enemy resides on the wall and looks out for what is coming against the wall or try to come inside. He would sit there. He would make his presence available on the strongholds and he would counterattack what is trying to come inside the nation that he didn't want to be affected by. In other words, it's a bunch of big rocks, strong rocks, which is built around this castle. Bunch of strong rocks. Bunch of big rocks which cannot be broken, he thinks. It is an expectation or a broken reality or broken trust on people. Broken trust of an individual. Broken trust of an event that happened to us long time ago, which made us build more events similar to it. Are you here? Come on. It is time for the strongholds to be casting down. We are here for a purpose. We are here to pull them down. God gave us the power.
God is going to give us the power to pull that down because His power is available for us to reside in freedom, not in stuck place. Not in a stuck place. He says, He's given us the weapons out of a warfare. These weapons are not carnal. These weapons are not normal things. These weapons are not meant for us to see and just wipe it and put it back in where it's supposed to be. No, these weapons are meant to bring down the strongholds, teaching us how to behave and how to do and how to see things through the events that happen to us. The events that happen to us is guiding us to every decision that we're trying to take. Yes, yes. Yeah, psychology. You see, what God wants us to do is, He wants us to start realize what is controlling us. What is the strongholds? As I said before, it is an events that happen to us. See, where the enemy has come so strong is, he has come in an event that happened to us called a trauma or a sin. Are you here? Where he got us is in our childhood days, where things that happen without our control that shouldn't have happened, which we perceive that curse from that individual or in that process of knowing that good or bad, we accepted it, and that expectation of acceptance of that curse that happened to us in that trauma or sin, which was either sexual abuse or a trauma or an accident or whatever that is. What happened is, when we accepted that reality, we started walking with that acceptance of being rejected. And we accept that rejection. When we accept the rejection, we walked constantly around rejection. We walked constantly on thinking no one loves me. We constantly walked around, if I'm not able to receive, if I'm not able to work, no one's going to respect me. Or I'm socially awkward. I don't know how people are perceiving me. You see, where the enemy got us is, yes, he got us in the event. Sometimes we don't remember the event. Sometimes we don't know what that event is that is controlling us. He is the enemy. Come on, see, the enemy is not our focus today. He's not, I promise you. But Bible says to be aware. Did you hear that? The enemy is supposed to be stamped. Come on. It is we who's going to stamp him under our feet today. He's not meant to be reigning here. It is for us to reign him under my feet, crushing him. See, he's no way compared to God. He's no way compared to God. Because he's just a created being. Created by my God. If he's compared, he needs to be compared to Michael. Do you know what I mean? When you compare to God, this guy is like a sand, a dust before God. The reason God allows him to be a distraction to us is allowing him to have me not to see the purpose of God is someday my son, my daughter, will start understanding their calling. Because I am the guy who's playing the chess. Oh, someone didn't get it. It's not the enemy who's playing the chess. It's God himself is allowing himself to become the master who's playing either side. An enemy says, well, I did this, but why am I not able to stop this guy? Man, I brought this disappointment to Ravi. Brought him to this country where he hates to be here. I've done my job. But he didn't know. He didn't know God has prepared a green card for him. He didn't know he's gonna receive a lovers of Jesus around him, that he is not going to be alone. Like Dave King, like Tim.
I keep forgetting Tim's wife's name. I keep saying Tim's wife. She does not like me. Her name is Sharon. She said, Ravi, memorize my name. Anyways.
You see? He knows exactly what's happening. So are you clear until now? Yes? Okay. Remember, I'm not preaching here. Okay? I'm teaching here. I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. So if you don't understand, please raise your hands. I'll repeat this again. I'm here, not slept all night yesterday or today morning. I want to make sure you understand what I'm trying to say. Even though I want to go faster, I will go slower until you understand this. Amen? I want to see. I want to see fear leave you today. I want to see sadness leave you today. There are 88 emotions, negative emotions, trying to control us. Can you imagine that? Psychology. 88 negative emotions trying to destroy the plan of God in me. But there's one power that God has to destroy the enemy's plans and help me understand Daddy's plan and work from fearless lifestyle called Jesus. So, we're gonna see how this is going to work. So, all that what the Lord is trying to say here is he's exposing me to what the enemy has done. All that enemy is trying to do is put me in a capture place and allow me to bounce the ideas from the event that already happened. When people come to you and give you hope, and you listen to the hope, all of a sudden the hope becomes so impractical. Am I talking? The hope becomes so impractical because we have heard that voice before. We have heard that prophecy before. Or this prophecy that this guy gives me is impossible. What's happening? The enemy, he wants me to hear this prophecy. And the idea of the enemy, knowing that this prophecy is coming and this prophecy can really allow me to work in the presence of God, he's actually not wanting me to accept the prophecy. He wants me to throw that prophecy in an event that happens to me. He wants me to go to that stronghold, examine this word with the stronghold. Am I speaking English? Am I good? Good. You should talk to my wife and send her that. What is that book? What other book is? Yeah, Facebook. And she loves that thing. So all that he's doing, all that enemy wants me to do is to look at this promise of God and compare the promise of God with the event that happened to us in our past. That is the stronghold. Here's our answer in the word. I said, Lord, what do you mean by comparing to this? What do you mean by stronghold? Could you explain me stronghold? And I said, the Lord said, keep reading the word. Keep reading the word. Keep reading verse 5. He says, what are these strongholds? What are we trying? Why? Who is coming against us? Who's trying to pull us down to that reality called nothing, and you're nothing before. Nothing. Are useless. You're not loved. We don't know who you are. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know this would happen or not. We don't know this marriage would work or not. We don't know this my son would get saved or not. What's happening is, verse 5, he's saying, casting down arguments. The promise of God today is, he is helping us to remove or drag the arguments, which is reasoning, imagination. In different sources where the Bible talks about reasoning, imagination. When we reason with the lie that enemy is trying to do, or compare the promises of God with that reality, what's happening is we have taken the promise of God, allow the promise of God to become a lie. And let that work not work in us. Why? Because we have allowed the promise of God and argued against the events that happened to us. This stronghold is allowed us to become and walk in the shadows of that wall. Shadows of that disappointments. Shadows of disagreements. Shadows of hurts. You see? Our broken soul wants me to constantly allow me to be under the influence of broken reality. When the gas thing goes up, we freak out. Yes. $1 it goes up, we say, oh, the America is going down. We're going to die. We got to start preparing something for greater things. And we walk inside a store, we smell these fragrance that triggers us that there's something wrong. We say, oh, something happening. Something inside there got stuck to me. Oh, I cannot talk to this person. I cannot pray against this person. I remember this event. I remember this place in America, in Florida. I was preaching in this Florida, and here's this woman. All of a sudden, we finished up preaching, and I finished this teaching session, and I was sitting in a pew, and all of a sudden I turned back. This lady started staring at me. I thought, you know, she's just admiring my beauty. No. She was not admiring her beauty. She's admiring. No, she is so angry that I'm there. All of a sudden, it dawned to me, she's possessed. I thought, possession only happens in India. I thought, oh, this is Christian country, and possession of the enemy cannot happen in the early days. She looks at me. She totally changed her voice and says, you cannot be here. You cannot be here. How dare you here? How can you? I mean, she went on giving me these curses what I should do, what I should not do. And she started speaking to me those things that happened to my past, events that brought nothing but failure, allowed me to brought all that failure back and said, this happened to you, it's going to happen again. I looked at her. I looked to the Lord. As a human being, I got scared. See, the enemy wants me to listen to my past experiences and argue, take that argument and literally argue with that reality called enemy. See, disciples did the same thing wrong. Same thing again. In Mark 8, where the Bible says where one day Jesus and his disciples did amazing miracle, where he fed thousands of people. And he got tired, and they were going in a boat, and while he was in the boat, he's teaching an amazing teaching in this time. He was about to teach this profound teaching of influence. What would influence the mind? What would influence our hearts? What would influence our thinking? What would influence our desires? He's about to teach them one of the best teaching ever heard. All of a sudden, he was talking about the bread and the leaven and leaven and the leaven of a Pharisee and leaven of Sadducees. And he was about to teach them the profound teaching. I thought he was going to do an amazing thing when I was reading the Gospels. These guys, these his disciples, all of a sudden triggered something. Said, oh, Jesus is talking about this leaven of food. So did we in an excitement of being served with heaven's food, did we bring any food which was left over there? And now we are stuck in the middle of sea with no food. They missed out the point of God. What were they doing? Jesus looked at them. He says, why do you reason? You see that? Why do you reason? Because you have no bread. See, the reason, the word reason has a root word in this 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Why do you argue? The spirit of argument, the spirit of reasoning with an events that happened to us. See, one thing that I've realized in the thesis of my demonology, one thing I've realized in this is the enemy knows everything of my past. He wants me to reside in the past. I interviewed God, my Almighty, and looked at that, Daddy, would you tell me your secret? He said, Ravi, I have no clue of the past of this man. All I know is the future of the sons of living God. Did you hear that? He only knows the future. He only knows he lives in the future and tries to bring me to the purposes of him today. That's why he says, live today. Forget about tomorrow. So all of a sudden, these disciples were constantly worried about what am I going to eat? And that's why he says, do not worry. Why do you reason? Why do you reason? All that our Father is trying to do, all that the Lord is trying to say here is, our reasoning cannot come against the plan of God. When it comes against the plan of God, it becomes demonic. Did you hear that? Whatever the ideas and ideals that comes against the word of God is demonic in its nature. Yes. Because every emotion that comes against the word of God has an event. But we recognize that there is power in these emotions. There's power in this emotion, negative emotions, who's trying to be consumed by these emotions. As a son of a living God, all that I get to do is to reside in not in reasoning, but allow myself in knowing God has given me the power. He's given me the power to choose heaven, not the reality of the past. Come on. The past wants me to be paralyzed to situation that happened to us as a sin or a trauma. The trauma or the sin wants to control my every decisions today. But my God wants me to protect me. Give me the reasoning to work from heaven, not on earth. Come on. He wants me to work in a reality where he desires me to work in heaven, bring heaven wherever I go. Where my shadows would heal people. Where my shadows would deliver people from sickness, from depression, from fear. That is who I am. He wants me to drag the arguments of the enemy. He's given us the power. He's going to give us the power to pull down the enemy's strongholds. Today is our day. You see, what all
reason, with an argument of what happened to our past, we are bringing the past again to us to relive the curse of the past.
That's right. Yeah.
But when we live in the presence of God, who is living sacrifice of God, which is the joy of the Lord, oh, you guys are tiring me off. When I live in the joy of the Lord, what are you seeing? You're seeing God, the Almighty, the greater King, the Lion of Judah, walking before me. When Lion of Judah walks before me, I have no fear. I walk in freedom. Freedom is already set in. But this guy wants me to be stuck. Even in the wilderness, he does miracles. Oh, yes. Even in the wilderness, being in the wilderness, he wants me to, come on.
You see, miracles for Israel was different than Moses. They interpreted miracles as temporary prevention. Did you hear that? They accepted, they perceived miracles as temporary prevention of God, and they gave their trust in an event of a miracle, and they got stuck with that miracle. The difference between Israel's failure and the maturity of Moses is they got stuck with the miracle, and when they came against another event, they expect the same miracle to happen. My God is always a challenging God. He'll never do one miracle twice. Read your Bible. How many times has he done one miracle twice? I could not understand. One day I was reading this story of this blind guy that Jesus tried to heal. And he healed so many blind people, just touched him and they healed. They touched him, they got healed. Someone touched his garments, got healed. And one day this blind man comes, poor blind man. And he comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What do you want? Come on, Lord. You know what he wants, and why do you have to ask him the question?" And he says, he does all of this. He says, he goes down, picks up the mud, he spits the mud, he puts on in his eyes, and he says, "Go to that river, clean up, and come back." To me, the whole thing is a drama. Like, come on, Daddy. Why is that drama? You could just say, "Be healed." This guy would have been healed. What happened to this amazing miracles that you could have done? You're wasting your time. But God, and I said, "Daddy, what was your point?" The point of the Lord is, he said here is, I don't want people to get the miracle as a manual and expect the same miracle happen, because my God is not a copy God. Your God is not a copy God. He does not copy a miracle twice. All he wants me to do is to challenge a miracle as Moses did. He did not, what Moses did is he took that miracle of God and understood the nature of God by seeing this miracle. Come on. In other words, he discovered God's nature with a miracle. Someone didn't get it here. He discovered the nature of God. He discovered the amazing heart of God through a miracle. He understood the promises of God in that miracle. He accepted everything that miracle has, and he put that in his brain. And that brain, whenever anything shook, he did not shook, because his brain reminded that God did that. He's going to do greater things than what he did yesterday. But being stuck with a miracle and expecting the same miracle to happen again when someone offended us,
We want same hailstone come up on this guy too. But my daddy says, he says, why do you reason? Why do you reason when you know I just fed hundreds of people? And you reason with a subject called no food. When I am a God who's an amazing cook in heaven, who could bring manna from heaven wherever you could do, wherever you could ask of me. Tim said it. He's a God who created gold and silver. All I get to do is to choose, not the expectation of how people are going to see me, but be in an expectation in the presence of God. Allow me to see the power that God has. When I reside in the power that God has, reasoning becomes secondary. You reason with the truth, and the reason becomes your reality every time a challenge comes, because my God is a challenging God. I promise you that. He will never reveal what's going to happen because he trusts me so that I know what to do because I belong to a kingdom. That kingdom has given me the brain called the mind of Christ. You know, we all remember this parable Jesus talked about. He said he gave one guy one talent, another guy two talents, another guy five talents. He did not tell them what to do with that talents. He did not say, I'm going to come back and give you this blueprint. I'm going to check out how you're going to do this. I'm giving you this vineyard and let's see what you're going to do with this money. He did not give them blueprint. He didn't give them what to do. He said, I trust you with what has been given to you, but I'll come back. Oh. There is a place where we wait. But there is a place we got to start working. We got to work where he's trusted us with an understanding called family. He's given us a gift called husband. He's given us a gift called wife. He's given us a gift called children. He's given us a gift called church. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to expand my kingdom? You see, the kingdom of God wants me to have a relationship with a king who thinks beyond me. But when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to wake up because my body doesn't want to wake up with an excitement that what God's going to do today. You see? Enemy wants me to constantly be under the influence of procrastination. What is procrastination? Doing something which causes pain and not doing that which causes pleasure is procrastination. Did you hear that? Yeah. Doing something is pain. Somehow our brain triggers to a place where you doing is a pain, but not doing is a pleasure. Enemy wants me to be in the place where you don't need to do it. Let's do it again. Let's do it some other day. All that enemy wants me to do is to rest in a reality where you deserve to sit in a reasoning of your past experiences. The reasoning, the Bible says, you cannot reason with God who really brought the presence of God to invade the heaven on me to give a reason that no one has. He wants me to be the, come on. He wants me to become King Solomon's. Guys, you are the King Solomon's, beyond the King Solomon's. Because God has given you that mind of Christ that rips open the enemy and bring an amazing wisdom of God. That's who
you are accepting the promises of God, though you don't understand, you are walking in obedience, not reason with what you don't have. See, all the enemy is saying, your reasoning begins with what you don't have. Did you get that? The enemy wants me to reason with what you don't have, but God wants to accept the promise that He is a God who never sleeps nor slumber, and He's a provider.
Yes.
Jehovah Jireh.
I know. Am I making any sense today?
Yes.
All that Daddy's trying to do is he's letting us see and understanding what is controlling us. What is the expectation that we put on some things to make it difficult for us to move forward? Sometimes we blame the enemy. We are the ones who are to blame sometimes. When we start arguing, when you start arguing with reality, you always look at the solution for someone also. All I'm trying to say here, guys, is God gave us the authority that was already given on the day where God created Adam and Eve. He gave an authority. He gave Adam and Eve an authority. He could not take that authority back. He could not take authority back because God is a king who does not go against the word that has been already spoken. He cannot. When a king gives a gift, he cannot go against the gift that has been given. So when the gift was given, enemy knew that gift which was given to them was a threat to his reality of where he was living. He thought God pushed him down to earth, thinking earth belongs to him. But God planted Adam and Eve where the enemy was also living in that place. Why did God put enemy in this place? The reason he put the enemy in this place is because God wanted to show the enemy what I could do, my sons and daughters will do on you. The enemy got scared when God created Adam and Eve. And he gave the precious anointing to them. Saying, I give you the dominion. I give you the power to rule everything that you have. I give you the power to see everything around you and declare whatever you want. And he hated that. And he sneaked, the Bible says, he sneaked around and says, you know, God gave you this. God told you not to eat of this fruit. You can't eat, but God didn't want you to eat that. He deceived. He made it so pleasantful. He made it so pleasantful where Eve was not there in the first place when Adam heard that. Eve wasn't there when God spoke about this thing called tree. Remember that? Yeah, Eve wasn't there. And Adam, Eve accepted it because she was not there. She interpreted what Adam had to tell her. Husbands, we have a responsibility to sit up at 10:30 in the night and listen to our wives. You didn't get it at all. Where wife gets excited at 10:30 in the night, who wants to constantly share about the day, and we husbands like, hallelujah, yes, yes. But wife says, you're not looking at me, Ravi. You're not looking at me. Please look at me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Did you listen to what I'm saying? Tell me what you just said. And all of a sudden, whenever I get to listen to my wife, I have this concept called, I know all things. I'm the only husband here. Yeah. And all of a sudden I have this concept called, I know all things, I know exactly what you're trying to say. I'll give you answers. But she's saying, no, I don't want your dash answers. And here I am, honey, I can make your life easier. See, I'm telling her, but I'm not seeing her. But my focus is something else. See, I have a responsibility. A husband is not only listen to her, go into her emotions and bring that trust into me and understand her by listening. Listening is what...
Kukurana. Oh, that's right. She got that.
See, listening is an anointing. Listening is an anointing because God gave... I'm coming to a point. All this is introduction.
I'm finishing in 15 minutes.
Listening is an anointing God gave us to listen to the emotions of our wives so that we can really understand the event that happened. When we listen completely to her, what's happening? She has poured out all her account on me so that she can trust me back to whatever I get to do. Yeah. She has an account which I'm not interested about. When she is not interested about an account that she carries, she's not going to be interested about my account. Did you get the point? She's trying to withdraw. Come on. She's trying to give away what she has in me, what she has in her. But I don't want anything what she has in me because to me it is different. It's totally different. But matter of fact, she's encouraging me to be uplifted in God. Though it is negative. Did you hear that? Though it is negative, but you have given an authority to listen. All I'm trying to say, God gave us the authority, but the enemy looked at it and asked the Eve to be deceived. All that Eve wanted is to listen. That which was said was not clearly told. It was not clearly told. Genesis 3. It was not clearly told by Adam to Eve what God said to her. She added some things. Added more things what God did not tell her. Did you hear that? Go back to your Bibles and read it. God said, "You shall not eat of this tree." Eve added one more thing. God said not to touch. God didn't say not to touch. She added. See, enemy got that reasoning where she understood from a conversation from a husband who did not explain it right. This guy was supposed to be amplified version. He became King James Version, which she didn't understand. All of a sudden, what happened here? All the enemy is trying to do is to steal the gift that was given. And he stole the authority of God, called anointing of God. When he stole, all of a sudden these guys got stripped away from the promises of God. When they got stripped away, they realized that, whoa, I got stripped away from the glory which is a promise on me. You see, the point here, what the Lord is trying to say here is when all of a sudden when that thing got stolen, we know the story when God, Jesus came down to the earth and the enemy tried to tempt Jesus. Remember that temptation of Jesus? The enemy looks at him, Jesus, I'm going to tempt you. I'm going to be famous. I'm famous in arguing. I'm famous in trapping people. I can also trap you. And he took him to places and places and said, hey, he just took him, tried to entangle him with all the good things that he was trying to see. And I was asking the Lord, I asked the Lord, Daddy, what was going on in your mind when enemy was trying to entice you with the good things? You know what Jesus said? He said, Ravi, it was an amazing sightseeing. A sightseeing. The enemy didn't know that I have come to take what he showed me. Actually, the enemy was showing him what he's going to take at the cross. And one day, at the same time, he looked at Jesus, if you bow down to me, Luke 4, if you bow down to me, I will give you the dominion to you, which was given to me. Your Bible says that. My Bible says that. This dominion, this authority was given to me by someone called Adam and Eve. Jesus looked at him. An enemy had no clue why Jesus came. He knew exactly, Jesus knew exactly what's going to happen. See, the Bible says when he died, the first thing he did, he went to his hometown, enemy's hometown, and it says, give me back my keys. Give me back my keys. In other words, he snatched the keys of the kingdom and he started passing on which was supposed to be ours. And on Acts 2. In other words, guys, he's giving us authority today. He's giving us authority to pull down the curses of the enemy. You see, I know he's given us authority to understand what these arguments can do, what these high things can do. The high things is an interpretation of our past. When we bring down the interpretation and bring the presence of God to invade us, nothing can stop us to see the purpose of God. Amen? Let's stand for a minute, please. The reason I'm going to make you stand today, I have 10 minutes. Who's here who really wants to get healed from your past? Let me ask you, sir. What's your name, sir? Frank. Frank, tell me what's bothering you now. Isn't that funny? The reason it's fascinating how God, how the enemy made you feel not fulfilled is because you allowed we have allowed our bags to trust called achievements. You have, when your father died, when your father was there, you allowed him to work on your behalf. You put him so high when he died, you told yourself that I gotta do these things. If I don't do these things, no one is gonna love me. And you started doing these things, start acquiring events to prove yourself. And you started covering things that you can't touch this. This is my coomb. This is my car. Am I making sense? this is my wife. This is my... And when we start, the reason you're doing that is because you put an expectation on your achievements. You put so much of trust in achievements. When achievements did not do what you expected you to do, you cried. Your thoughts actually controlled you, which is not supposed to control you. Remember that? You bounced back what did not happen, and that bounce back told you, yes, remember that event that happened to you? So you're stuck because it's not going to happen. The reality for you, sir, is cast your burden down and say, Daddy, you are my father now. I know I put my trust in achievements, but I want to be fulfilled. The fulfilled is in your presence. Did you see that? You put an amazing expectation on your dad. You wanted dad to be everybody. You saw dad in everybody. But dad could not do. God, dad was not there on everybody. Everybody destroyed you. You thought they're... What you're doing here is accepting the fulfillment of God. You're saying, this bag is no more my association of who I am. My car is not my association. The nervous system wants me to constantly nerve, start nerving when things don't happen. But this is gone. There's nothing for you to associate to. In other words, right now, as I'm watching you, Daddy's clothing you with a maroon color clothing called Royal King. Right now. Amen? I want you to see. Do you see? Isn't that funny? Do you see a color of God right now? What do you see? In open eyes vision. What do you see? Do you see still being stuck in your past? What kind of feeling that you have right now? Yes. So what is that you're feeling in your right shoulder? Nothing? Really? Good job. You're going to feel it right now. Ma'am, would you mind putting your right hand on the shoulder? Yeah, on the right, that right there. Do you know there was an expectation that happened on that shoulder years ago? Let me say this. Sir, that shoulder, the Holy Spirit is going to land on it. And you're going to walk in awareness of dove sitting on that shoulder, and you're going to walk carefully because you're going to see the Holy Spirit ruling you. Yeah. I want you to feel that essence of your wife's touch on your shoulder. That is your association of your Holy Spirit. Sir, please know. You're up for a shock. Shocks of opportunities of God. Opportunities of God. Your lives are going to change completely from this moment. Yes. Amen. I want you to take your left hand and say, Daddy, whatever you have I'm experienced now, this is mine. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Say it. Put it back to your heart. Put it back to your heart. Yes. What are you doing? You're accepting the promises of God on you. Amen. Who else? What else? Amen. Should we just clap the hands for God and be... Come on, man. You're doing great things, sir. You're an amazing teacher. Yes. Anyways, two more today. I want to talk to you personally. I prayed for you for a long time. Hold on. Who else? Come on, let's do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Did you get what happened just there? How many of you got reality that was me? That is me. Put your hands, okay? Put your hands up straight. Why am I doing this? I'm saying, Lord, Daddy, this is me. Thank you for delivering me. Now, put your hands up if you want that. Come on, man. Come on. Say, Daddy, I accept the glory. Everything that I have in you. I receive it on my presence of yours. Let's do it again. You will see the difference. What am I doing here? What I'm doing here is I am helping you to destroy your own strongholds. Amen? You see, we've been created, this body was meant to feel the presence of God. But stinker enemy has made my body to become a storehouse of this memory sticks. Thumb drive, right? Called neurons. Tonight is your night. Your trillions and trillions of neurons are going to die tonight. Are going to die tonight. Do you believe that? Whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. I didn't come here to preach. I didn't come here to teach. I've come here because I'm a donkey of my God to let you know Daddy is doing on your behalf. I'm going to do something here today. We're going to do something funny. But an amazing, amazing thing that I've experienced in God. We're going to do a system called... It's similar to a fire tunnel. Okay? A fire tunnel. You know what fire tunnel is? Yeah, Raymond said that. Yeah. Because, anyways, I'll talk to him later. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I know it's going to take time. But I want you, when we're going to have a line this way and this way. We're going to have prayer warriors stand this and this. And I want you to walk into this tunnel, these prayer warriors will be praying and declaring the word of God upon you, that this word would not just be an argument, but be about the presence of God, and be this Bible, be a practical lifestyle in you. The Bible is not supposed to be for you to argue about the word or take this word and defend Jesus. This is not meant to defend Jesus. No. The reason the Bible is given to me is because to live beyond this Bible or experience everything that Bible said. Amen? How many of you here, you think, how many of you know today that you just got healed from your past? Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that? Yeah. Amen. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask the church elders, church prayer warriors to come on up. Prayer team, church leaders. I don't know how we're going to do, Pastor. We're going to have two lines. this is a true Baptist doing this, okay? Because I believe in the obedience. Did you hear that? I believe in obedience and walking in the Lord. So what are we going to do is, I'm going to have this line to walk this way. From this way to come around and try to go other side. Okay? Try. Let's try that. Let's try from the last people to come straight away this way and walk towards this. And when you're walking, here's what I'm going to do. This is not freaky. This is not, how am I saying this? This is a call of God on you saying, Daddy, I'm going to be different from today. Amen? Lord, I'm going to be different. I'm going to experience you today. I'm going to be different from today. As I'm walking through this valley of promises, I'm going to accept every promises that I have on me. That you have promised me from the womb of my mother. All that you're getting to do is walk. Is to walk. We're going to have our friend to do some music. Just play a music. We'll start now. So let's be in this place of reverential fear of God. And have the presence of God hit us. If you feel like falling down, it's okay to fall down. Okay? If you feel like going down, someone is going to be there to help you go up.